Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, 738. On this Tuesday morning, you're getting your day started connecting faith to life, because that's what we do here, Faith Radio.
Absolutely. Well, have you ever been lost in a car and you're on your way to some important event? And I don't know about women, but I know guys, and usually guys kind of, if you go faster, you'll get wherever it is, even though you're lost, you'll get there sooner.
They're just looking for the next place to stop for directions, right?
That's None? Every man I know, absolutely looking for directions. Well, we want to talk about the fact that maybe it's a good thing to slow down and do less. We're welcoming this morning John Busacker. He's president of the Inventure Group. It's a global leadership consulting firm, and he's founder of Life Worth LLC. It's a life planning creative resource, and also author of the book Do Less, Be More, and it's the life-changing power of focus. Thank you, John, for joining us, and welcome to the studio.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about that analogy of driving, because I think we've all experienced that, but this is a great way to kind of intro your book, too.
Well, it's said that humans are the only creatures that speed up when they're lost or confused.
Okay.
Everything else in creation tends to slow down, so the analogy, I think, is apt for this book, that God intends us many times to slow down and get our bearings and then set out in accordance with his will and his direction rather than just always forging forward faster.
Yeah, I like how you begin, too. I think maybe some people listening saying, hey, I just multitask. I get a lot done, and my life is fine that way. But this quiz might give them a good check. Talk about the quiz you offer at the beginning.
Well, there was actually a great quote a number of years ago in the Wall Street Journal that said that what we now today call multitasking used to just be called not paying attention. Yes, there's a quiz in the first part of the book that just asks a couple simple questions to have people check in and see whether they are focused or unfocused, engaged or disengaged, as a way of leaning into the subject matter of the book.
So if they can't get through the quiz, I'm guessing because they get distracted, would that be the first clue?
That might be a good tip. Yeah. That this would be a great book for you to read.
Well, I appreciate one of the points you put on here. It's, I take time for intimate relationships with friends and family members. They are a priority. That could really be kind of stop some people in the tracks, I think, true or false. Are they taking time with their family, with those that are nearest and dearest to them?
Yeah, I find myself guilty of showing up and not being present. Mm-hmm. So we've had a practice for many, many years in our family of having family dinners when our boys were younger, no matter whether it was 4 in the afternoon or 8 o'clock at night, depending more on their schedules than on ours. We would be together for family dinner, which was really a blessing for our boys growing up, and it continues to be a practice for my wife, Carol, and for me. But if I'm not careful, I can be guilty of not being present. I'm there physically, but I'm not there emotionally or spiritually or intellectually, relationally with Carol or with important people in my life. So that's one of the key points of the quiz, to just kind of catch people and see whether they're focused and engaged.
Mm. So are there some key words, or say if you're at dinner with your family and you're not engaged, does your wife have permission to say, John, hello, it's us, we're here? Have you learned over the course of time, even within your marriage, to find those ways to, oh yeah, come back, here we are?
Oh yeah, if I'm being guilty of communicating like a teenage boy, like our son's growing up, kind of giving monosyllabic yeps and nopes, Carol will call me on it immediately and just kind of clue me into I'm there, but I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this isn't just a male thing, right? I mean, either one of us can be guilty of that. We can be distracted or overwhelmed or thinking about other things rather than fully present with each other.
You can really learn from other cultures as well. And in the book, in fact, you talk about a family trip you took to Tanzania, East Africa. What did you learn there that helped impact your writing?
Yeah, I'm blessed to travel quite a bit with my business. And a number of years ago, we took a family vacation over our son's spring break to Tanzania, East Africa, and found ourselves in the midst of that vacation, lost in the Serengeti. You wouldn't think it would be possible to do that. The earth is so flat, it curves there. But our guide, Moses, we probably should have paid attention to that when we lost for 40 years, circling around for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses, But our guide Moses, rather than just continuing to go forward faster and drive in circles for another hour or two, came to a complete stop and got his bearings. And then we set out in the right direction. And for me, it was one of those seminal moments where it was really a lesson to be learned that there are times when we do need to stop or slow down and just get our bearings and then set out again in the right direction rather than just continuing to circle, drive in circles.
I think that's countercultural in a way, though, isn't it, too? Especially in America, you know, it's all about the busier you are, the more productive and the more successful you are and everything else. And if you just, I have friends that live a very calm life. But I think culturally, do we look at that sometimes like there's something wrong with them or they just aren't ambitious enough or, you know, they don't have a big enough vision?
Yeah.
How do we combat some of those thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the messaging and marketing that we're inundated with daily in many different forms is that more is better, busier is better. And so success is equated with a packed schedule, busy travel, and that isn't always necessarily true. It's good to be busy versus just standing still, and yet always packing more into our schedule, always doing more, always seeking more, often leads to exhaustion and being overwhelmed.
I'm talking with John Busacker in studio here today on Faith Radio Mornings. He's president of Inventure. It's a global leadership consulting firm and also founder of LifeWorth, LLC, a pioneer in holistic financial advice. We're going to continue talking with him after a quick break. And if you have a question or comment about this, doing less, being more, being fully engaged, it's the life-changing power of focus and some good equipping tools that John's offering us here today. You can give us a call. 877-933-2484 is the number. That's 877-933-FAITH, and we'll continue talking with John in just a moment on Faith Radio Mornings.
You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we're in the middle of a conversation with John Busacker. He's president of the Inventure Group, and he has a book called Do Less, Be More. It's the life-changing power of focus. And, John, you talk about how we have an opportunity to stop sleepwalking through life and just really become fully engaged with the world around us. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought of that where I'm like, okay, be in the present, be here right now. Don't, because I'm always wishing ahead, or it's like, well, after, in a week, this is going to be great, or I can't wait till that day. Or we catch ourselves in this place and probably in our work lives too. But you have some calling cards that you've designed to kind of help us figure out what is our calling? What are we designed and created to be? Talk a little bit about what these calling cards are all about.
This is actually a wonderful story, one of those desperation is the mother of invention stories where right after 9/11, we found ourselves as a small consulting firm with our calendar virtually wiped clean for a period of time. And so we designed a series of calling cards, which is really a simple but elegant way for people to really discover for themselves where their gifts, what God has equipped them with, intersects with what it is that they're passionate about. And so in the book, the calling cards, each of the calling cards is described, 52 callings that came out of conversations that we've had over years with people, primarily in coaching, where they're describing when they're fully engaged, when they're focused, when they're bringing the best of what God has given them to the world. How would they describe that? And so there's a series of steps to sort through those descriptions to really be clear on where is it that God is calling me, and then how do I give voice to that in a way that will engage me and bring something of value to the world.
So you look through it and you're saying, you know, something, I love to move physically, or I really love to straighten things up, or I love...
That wouldn't be mine, by the way. Physically, yes, but straightening things up, no. Yeah.
Or just helping people, helping to bring potential out in other people. So these are just kind of these naturally gifted things that God's put inside of us.
Yes. So our son, Brett, for example, is a person that moves physically and learns physically. So that would be a great example.
So you go through that and you look, okay, these are the things that I'm passionate about, and then you cross out the ones that don't apply. And then what do you do with once you've kind of figured out the ones that are kind of you?
Then you begin to check that against, so am I using those in my day-to-day, not just in work, but in my life, in my relationships, in my community, in my church? Am I really giving voice to that? Am I doing what I've discovered here is really what God has equipped me to do and called me to do.
And if not, then what do you do?
Well, that might be one of those moments like the Lost in the Serengeti moment where it's time to really recalibrate, to stop and to take a look at and maybe choose a little bit different direction, seek out advice from trusted friends or advisors. But really to take stock at that moment, because it's going to be difficult if I'm going against what it is I'm called to really be engaged in bringing my best, my full potential forward.
Again, we're talking in studio with John Bussacker here on Faith Radio Mornings. His book is called Do Less, Be More, The Life-Changing Power of Focus. And John, I know that you have counseled some top-level leaders in various with various businesses and arenas, and I'm wondering, how have they reacted to this idea, this call, do less, be more? But that doesn't seem like it would go over very well with these high rollers, so to speak.
Yeah, it seems like it could be kind of a career-limiting move, doesn't it?
Right?
There are organizations. We're really blessed in our consulting work to work with some wonderful organizations and I would say some leaders that have really discovered that this really does matter. The Gallup organization has done a lot of work around engagement and discovered that there is a bottom line to being engaged, to being focused. And in terms of customer satisfaction, customer engagement, employee satisfaction, and so forth. So just always doing more, kind of leaner and meaner, is counterproductive for an organization. And some leaders and some organizations get that. And some don't. Mm-hmm. We tend to work with the ones that do and try to discern at the front end whether they are really, truly, honestly, authentically interested in that or not, and pick our spots with whom we work.
It almost seems like there's a, you know, the faith component of trust involved there too. So maybe there's a temptation to check your email a lot on the weekend and ignore your family. Maybe that's a boundary that would be a little daunting to some people because they think they're going to fall behind. But how does that trust element and faith come into that too?
Yeah, that's a great question. I just had the experience of with my wife Carol of being in Costa Rica for 10 days building houses with Thrive and Financial and Habitat, and completely unplugged during that period of time. Didn't turned off the email, left a message on the email that I'm going to be unplugged. I'll be back and check back in on the 7th. There is an element of trust where leaders have to trust that their workers are going to do their best work, but it doesn't require them to be checking their emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. And leaders really set the tone on this. Based on their behavior, they set the tone more by their actions than by their words.
And I think it can be difficult, too, if you're working in an organization where the leader is driven like that, and that's just normal behavior for them, and they expect that to translate down to the employees as well. And, you know, you're really giving more than maybe what is even normally expected. So what would you recommend at that point if it just seems like it's way over the top?
Yeah, there's a chapter in the book titled Do What Matters, which is really a focus on values. And it helps the reader be clear on their own personal values, what really matters. And so that may be in disagreement with their own personal values. So if the leader is setting that example and kind of setting that expectation that if I send an email at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, the expectation is that you'll be reading it and responding or that you'll work at that pace or that level. I know for me personally that would conflict with my own values, and I would need to find a different place to work.
I think that's what we found on the YouTube video I Quit that just went viral last week, because it was the same thing. She was expected to do way more than what lined up with her values, and so she did a dancing I Quit video.
Yeah.
It resonates with people, certainly.
Yeah.
John, toward the end of the book, you write about Give It Away and how our engagement is sustained by generosity. Just say a word about that, if you would.
Yeah, the key to being engaged and focused over time is to be generous, not just with our money necessarily, but with our time, with our energy, with our attention to other people. We've been blessed to be a blessing. So whatever, even hardship or difficulty equips us to be compassionate for others that are experiencing the same hardship or difficulty. And so being generous then with our love and with our compassion allows us to be fully engaged, to be in it with other people. And that's really, I think, the only way over time to sustain effort and focus with other people.
And you talk, we just have a minute or so left here, but you talk about 15-year-old John Goddard who wrote a list of his dreams. There were 127 dreams altogether, and he's set out to accomplish those in his life. How important is that, to list out dreams and to try and achieve these as goals?
Yeah, the that got some attention again a number of years ago with the movie The Bucket List. I like the title in the book a lot better than The Bucket List. We call it a life list rather than a bucket list, which has a more positive connotation. But it's important for us to have dreams, to always to have things that are a little bit out of our reach, a little bit out over the horizon, if you will, that we're looking towards and pursuing as a means of giving us focus and passion and energy.
And then pray that that, you know, is something that lines up with God's will. And then he gives us the desires of our heart, too, as we pray about that and seek his face. So that's great. Thank you so much for joining us. What a great topic.
John Bussacker, again, is the author of Do Less, Be More, The Life-Changing Power of Focus. Links for this will be up at our website, myfaithradio.com, under Faith Radio Mornings. Thanks for coming into the studio, John. Appreciate
My pleasure.
It.